Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. You can smell the Steedon from here.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
Let's kick off the weekend early and get around the greatest sport of all.
Is there another game they play in Australia?
Triple M rocks rugby league.
You believe in the footy gods?
Live on Listener. Replays, interviews, and every Triple M footy game in full.
High quality rugby league. Ready and
now. Listen to this crowd.
Ready and now.
Triple!
Ready and now.
He's away. Somebody stop him.
You can't stop what I got.
Let's get your weekend of footy started. Welcome to the Triple M NRL Thursday Scrum.
Ready and now.
Back, baby, and we have a treat for you here on Triple M every Thursday night. More than 4 hours of footy starting from 6 p.m. It is a brand new show, the Thursday Scrum, with Emma Lawrence, Wade Graham and James Graham, who are fresh still off the plane, looking very fresh indeed from Vegas. How are you feeling, gents, and how was the Vegas trip?
Look, it was absolutely sensational. I'm still feeling a little bit like death warmed up. There's a lot of drinking going on over there, and you lose a day as well. So we leave Sunday local time, Las Vegas, and land on Tuesday in Sydney. So Monday, which happened to be my nephew's birthday, completely evaporated. So the card was a little bit late. So sorry about that, Miles. But yeah, it was a fantastic occasion. The football was fantastic. Four blockbuster teams going up against each other. The sense of occasion was real. The season launch down in Fremont Street was epic. It was scenes that I don't think anybody's witnessed before. And in terms of season launches, wow, they got it absolutely ideal. I know speaking to people here back in Australia, they were so jealous and envious of everybody that was in Las Vegas, all the Australians, all the Brits that made the effort to get there. I think people are chomping at the bit for season 2025 already and hoping that their team is one of the four teams that will play in Las Vegas next season.
Yeah, well, Jimmy, you just wrapped it up perfectly there. I don't feel too bad. I feel like, full disclosure, I was there in October for my Bucks party, so I might have been a little bit better for the run on the return trip, on the return leg coming.
So you had some fitness.
I had a bit of Vegas.
A certain level of Vegas fitness.
Vegas fitness, yeah. under my belt. But to sum that whole experience up, we're like incredibly grateful that we had the opportunity to go not through Triple M as well as Triple M to broadcast the game, but also be a part of the NRL crew and be a part of the events. As Jimmy mentioned, Fremont Street with all the fans. The stadium, absolutely world-class stadium to be a part of, under the roof. We were sitting in the suites at some stage. They had leather seats in there because they just have no weather to worry about. Mm-hmm. And the product delivered, the footy delivered on the field. We had a game, if you could have scripted it to that audience, say the American audience, a free-flowing game that opened to one with a lot of points scored from both teams, a lot of big highlight reel plays, and then it transitioned into this awesome blood. Had a couple of instances.
Yeah, Lachlan Croker, they were taping him up.
And then into the second game, which was just as exciting, not as much points, but a game that went end-to-end, a couple of heavyweight teams throwing down. And now another first for us, a part of the Thursday night scrum, which we're going to launch into every week. Like, what a couple of weeks for me and you, Jimmy. And now, Emma, you need to get on that Vegas trip next year as well.
You know what? When Jimmy was saying everyone was jealous and had a bit of FOMO, I wasn't for the first week. I was thinking, you know what? It's fine. I get a lot of away trips with work. I also just did the Australian Open. I'm getting into good routines, training well, eating well. I feel great. And then come game day, I was horrendously jealous. Just looking at Instagram stories of everyone at the stadium, the coverage was epic. The parties afterwards,
The stadium itself, yeah. Like the facilities. I didn't call the first game. Jimmy called the first game. So I was down a part of the NRL crew. I was on the field with an NFL player and a NASCAR driver. And we went into all their lounges, all their corporate suites that they had. And it was just another level. It's hard to put in the words how big the event was over there and the feeling around it as an ex-NRL player, but as a fan of the game, at my core, a lover of rugby league, to be a part of an event like that, I'm just incredibly grateful I was over there. And to anyone in the future who is thinking about going over there, even if it's not your team that's there that year or the opportunity's in front of you, if the opportunity is there, get amongst it for sure.
Yeah, get saving up. And I think, Wado, to touch on you with America, they do everything on steroids. You know, we've got some world-class stadiums here. You know, you look to the new building at Allianz, and it's fantastic. But Americans just do everything on steroids. There's not a detail that's been looked over. There's almost like a nightclub within the stadium. The facility is first class. And I think, you know, our product going over there and trying to get, you know, a foothold and some attention in the States, the TV numbers have been spoken about here and over there in America, respectively. It was never going to be an overnight success, but speaking to Americans that were at the game, they were just gobsmacked at what our product was like. They were gobsmacked at the athletes. And I remember there was a guy who I was speaking to, and he's like, well, why are they not stopping the game? That player's injured. Like, he's hobbling. Mm. And he's like, in NFL, there would be a timeout. The physio would come on. He would be removed. It would be assessed. It'd be, hey. But I was saying, well, we kind of just, we get up and carry on because we don't want to let each other down. He's like, wow, you guys are just wired up differently. Like, so there's a fascination on what our athletes can do from the American public. And I just think it was such a brave decision to go there in the beginning. You know, you've got to accept that it's going to be ridiculed. But Peter Verlandes, Andrew Abdo, the commission at the NRL, took a brave decision to take this on. It was never going to be an overnight success. It's not a flash in the pan, 1 year thing, and let's see what happens. It's a 5 year plan, and I'm excited to see where this can grow. I went to one of the combine days as well with some fantastic American athletes. And all we need to come from that is a poster girl or a poster boy to be that pin-up person. Go, they came from the college system that they didn't make it in their chosen sport, whether it be lacrosse, whether it be NFL or whatever it may be. And here they are playing their trade in the NRL or NRLW.
Well, that's the next. You don't want to get on what's next. But if we could take an NRLW team over there or all teams and be a part of that doubleheader just to show not only do the men do it and play the product the way that we do it, the women do it as well, and their game is just going on leaps and bounds. It's the fastest growing game, you know, definitely in the country, as in terms of participation, and then how that's filtering through to the top. It, like I said, it's a 5 year plan, but the possibilities within that plan, the changes, the things you can take away. You know, we've mentioned tying it in with the Super League, some games, maybe a double header with a couple of Super League teams.
A World Cup challenge, perhaps.
It's just, you know, as a rugby league fan, someone who at my core grew up loving the game, you know, lucky enough to play the game, but like now that I've stepped away, I love seeing the game in such a strong position. It's so exciting to be a part of.
I think, you know, if you're part of the commission or the game's governing body, it would have exceeded all expectations. I don't think they would have dreamt it would have gone as well as what it did. It was smooth sailing. You know, the crowd was all quality. But I think now what the NRL come back to Sydney and they need to sit down and go, well, how can we make next season bigger and better? Yeah, and that may involve bringing NRLW teams to perhaps the NRLW State of Origin game over there, or, you know, you throw in on top the World Club Challenge and you sell that to America. They love the whole world champion things. They get egotistical and narrow-minded in terms of, you know, you win the Super Bowl, world champions. Well,
not really.
Not really well, but you probably are. But imagine that.
Could we have a whole round there, like a magic round in Vegas? Or is that too ambitious?
Well, I think that the only problem with that, Emma, would be there wouldn't be able to be any football the following week. So if we had a magic round there, like all four teams that played last weekend will not be playing this weekend. So it's a split round one. So I don't know if we could have all the teams play over there and then return and play straight away. Mm. But I'm sure it's something that they could perhaps schedule in.
Just like to finish on that idea, can we have this? Can we do a magic round? Can we pull this together? What this has done, this achievement of getting it over there and you know, the feeling we're talking about now and the ability to grow it, it's, you're almost seeing this nothing's not achievable now. Like, we all sort of in the Australian bubble had a bit of a laugh. What are we going to play a round one, a doubleheader in Vegas? laughed about it. I don't think moving forward now, any idea could be too big to say that, you know, we're going to laugh at it. It's like, well, hang on a minute. If Peter's in charge and Andrew's in charge and they want to put a stake in the ground, you sort of almost just got to line up in behind them now and go, righto, let's get this show on the road.
Yeah. Well done to Peter Volandis, to Andrew, Abdo and everyone involved in the game. But before we do take a quick break, can we get the 3-2-1 for the Triple M crew? Who was best on ground over there? Because we throw in the likes of, you know, Reedy loves a bit of fun. Dobbo was over there. He always likes to be in the thick of the action. Producer Charlie has got to be right up there somewhere.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Reedy. I saw him in the lift. Oh, sorry, in reception prior to going to the game. I asked him where he was sitting because he was in the full suit. He said, oh, I need business attire on. The invite says business attire. He was wearing white training shoes with a suit. I said, Reedy, that's not business attire, pal. You need like proper shoes on. In terms of the 3-2-1,
where was he going to a corporate function?
Yes, within the stadium. So God knows what he was thinking. And then he said to me, oh no, the shoes I've got, they're a bit tight. So I said, well, why don't you just put your shoes in your bag, leave your trainers on for comfort, your joggers on for comfort. And then when you need to put them on for the corporate, you know, the la-di-da, the prawn sandwich eaters, put your fancy shoes on and get amongst it. But I think, you know, you talk, your 3-2-1, very difficult to separate. You know, it was some great, some great members there. Myself and Wade were leading from the front. But in terms of producer Charlie White, absolutely feral behaviour.
Feral that's behaviour. That's a strong word, feral.
Well, just...
Can we get some insight? Well, anything just, look, that's appropriate for radio?
Well, look, he went a bit hard and, you know, then come the last evening, you know, we finished up the games, leaving Allegiant Stadium. We did a podcast for the buy round. And then the last night, he's going, oh, I don't think I'm going to come out. I don't think I'm going to come out. I'm like, why not? And he's pulling excuses. He's saying, oh, I've got to leave for Los Angeles tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I'm driving. I was like, you're not driving.
Driving? No. Why is he driving
so
the
he
morning
drive,
after?
He had to drive to the airport, to Los Angeles airport, but he wasn't driving.
It was a cab.
It was Ben Dobbin was driving him. So he had to play passenger. And then he turns around. He says, oh, no, I can't come out. I've got to shave.
No, he didn't. Well, that's made up.
I won't go off. I'll just say, I'll give my man of the match, my player's player, to the man sitting in front of me. Because on that last night, he literally dragged me out of bed at about 6 a.m. And I'd only gotten home at maybe 5:30, I'd say, I just have a couple of reds, close my eyes.
No, it was about 4 I got you out of bed.
Okay, well, I was a bit hazy. So I'd just gotten home and had a couple of glasses of red, try and drift off into sleep. So we're in some condition for the last day and he's banging on my door and saying, mate, it's the last night, you're coming out. And then I got to give him my players. When front rowers turn to get in behind him and just follow me, that's what you have to
That's
do.
That's what you've got to do.
That's what you've got to do.
That's what happens here on the Thursday scrum as well. So we'll have to organise a little bonding session in the next couple of weeks.
Because I like it.
It is a brand new segment here on Thursday nights. We do it thanks to Ream Hot Water and to Macca's. Gents, Vegas was great and we just had some, you know, great reflections on what an awesome trip it was. But unfortunately, bit of a sour ending to the trip with the Spencer Lenu saga. There were allegations straight after the match coming from Ezra Mann that Spencer Lenu had called Ezra a monkey on the field. Our very own Brent Reed spoke to Spencer straight after the match.
Obviously, great result, but I've got to ask about what happened in the second half, the racial complaint. Can you tell us from your view what happened?
Nah, nothing. It's just all fun and games on the field. And that's it.
You're not too worried?
Not worried at all.
So a couple of days later now, and the Roosters have come out and released a statement, and Spencer has entered a guilty plea, saying he wants to apologise to Ezra and his family for using the word. He's sincerely sorry that it caused Ezra such distress. He puts his hand up and wants to take ownership. I said the word, but I didn't mean to say it in a racist way. Anyone who knows me knows that's not who I am. Wade-o, a few things to dissect here. Firstly, the incident itself, and he's admitting to using the word.
Yeah, well, straight away during the game, you know, when the referee called out the two captains and Ezra, you could tell something was going on. And then across the mics, we heard it. Ezra make the official complaint. And the reaction from Spencer straight away after the game, I would say he knew he had something to worry about. I think he just didn't know how to react. He hadn't processed it enough to know how big of an issue it was, because it is an issue. It just, that sort of behaviour, those sort of words, they don't belong anywhere in our society these days, and particularly not in our sport. We've seen a number of players come out in defence of Ezra and the incidents post the game. And I think for him to now come out and admit fault and to take ownership of it is the first step in the healing process. He's obviously going to face a very hard time at the judiciary, and they're going to come down hard on him because, like I said, this behaviour is just not on in our game. And I think he had to plead guilty to it, because the only other thing what could have been worse coming out of this, if he'd have fought for his innocence when it was clearly something, an allegation, and it was clear something had happened, we would have seen an event at the judiciary, which would have been like the contrary to conduct charge that we had Reece Walsh go through last year when he had targeted the referee with some swear words. And that would have been just a disaster for Spencer, a disaster for Ezra and the players involved, a disaster for both clubs, and a disaster for the NRL. So I'm glad that he's come out and he's acknowledged that what he's done is wrong. And it's the first start. It's the start of the healing process. So I expect more to happen behind the scenes between probably the two players and possibly the two clubs, so that this doesn't carry on. But yeah, this needed to be dealt with and dealt with as soon as possible.
You mentioned the fact that a number of players have come out in support of Ezra. Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker, two of the strongest voices in the game on Indigenous issues. So too Nicho Hynes. And this is what
it brings up, a lot of old trauma for our elders and our people. And it's really sad to see that it's happened. And yeah, I just want to send a lot of love to Ezra and his family. Yeah, it just sucks to see that it's happened. And, you know, hopefully, you know, Spencer and that can learn from it. But look, it's just something we don't need in the game. You know, we get annoyed and we get frustrated and go at the people who are spectators who start with racism, and we can't have it in our game with our own people, like in our peers and people who play the game. You know, it's not okay for people outside the game to do it, so it's not okay for people in the game to do it as well. And now it's a cliche, but it just shouldn't be happening in today's day. So I sent a message out to Ezra and sent him my love, and he's replied, so hopefully he's just doing really well and he can just focus on his year now.
Yeah, again, we saw Cody and Latrell both come out after the game in support of Ezra, two strong leaders in the Indigenous space, and then Nicho, another guy who's an emerging leader there, wears his heart on his sleeve. He always has the welfare of other people in mind, Nicho, and it's no surprise to see him coming out in support of Ezra. And he needs to know, and everyone needs to know, and again, like, he did the right thing calling it out. You just, it can't be accepted. And if you do hear it and ignore it, that is a part of accepting it. So he did the right thing. He needs to know that the players have his support, and it's not on.
Yeah, you can almost hear the pain in Nicho Hynes' voice there. That he's having to talk about this, and it would affect him. And you know, racism isn't acceptable in society. It shouldn't be. And, you know, in terms of our game and sport in general, it's a great vehicle for bringing people together and all of us uniting under the same banner. I know, you know, it's very difficult for me to talk about as a white person. I don't understand what it would be like to receive those words. But I think it is such a shame, because I know for me, when I was playing at the Bulldogs, which is such a diverse community, when people came to watch the Dogs, it didn't matter who they were next to, but as long as they were in blue and white. So sport actually goes, it's such a strong vehicle for change and brings people together like no other aspect of society that I'm aware of. And it is so inclusive, and we look after each other. Normally we're a rugby league family. Like, I think of incidents that have happened in the past, and we unite together as a game to look after one another. And, you know, we don't want to treat anybody in society but like that, and certainly not anybody that's in the Rugby League family like that.
And now the fact that Spencer has come out, already entered a guilty plea, he still will have to face the judiciary. Some players, Latrell's been calling for a really long ban. Wade, is it too difficult to estimate for you how long either you think he might get or how long you think he should get out of the game?
Well, I think it'll be a pretty heavy suspension. So,
in 8 weeks?
I'd imagine, yeah, probably 8 weeks. That's what's that, a quarter of the season? Oh, sorry, yeah, a third of the season. Mm-hmm. It'd have to be pretty significant. I don't want to put words or influence the judiciary, but it needs to be significant, unfortunately, for Spencer. But it's the wrong thing, and you're going to have to do your time.
Yeah. Well, it's Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker, Nicho Hynes. A lot of them have come out in support, and as you said, Jimmy, you can see the hurt in Nicho's voice. I spent the week in Indigenous All-Stars camp with them, and you could see Nicho's passion and just how much it meant. So for them, obviously part of the healing process to get that out there. So well done, who's had the courage to speak out. Hopefully that's the end of issues like this in the game. We'll take a quick break here on the Thursday. Scrum Footy is back. We're doing it thanks to Macca's. Macca's is back on the menu, and I'm loving it. Welcome back to the Thursday Scrum. Emma Lawrence, Wade Graham and James Graham. We're doing it thanks to Macca's. Are you hungry for the new season? Well, footy is back on the menu. And Thursday night footy returns up there at McDonald Jones Stadium in Newcastle with the Knights taking on the Raiders. And I'm very pleased to say that the Knights co-captain Jaden Brayley joins us now. Jaden, thank you so much for your time. Unfortunately injured and not taking part tonight, but what is it like up there? We're hearing it's a sold-out crowd, and we just know how much they live and breathe rugby league up there.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a very exciting night for us. Obviously, the season openers were over in Vegas, but we're very excited to open it here in Australia. And I think we've got 25,000 expected to come out here tonight. And it's a special place to play footy. And, I know the boys can't wait.
Jaden, Wade Graham here, mate. I hope you're going well. How's the belief in the team this year? Obviously, you set goals at the start of every year, but that magic run really would have instilled some confidence in your team and belief. What is it? Is it top four? Is it just giving yourselves a chance? What's the belief like? Where's the goal setting out this year?
Hey, mate. I think just going off the back of last year, for the first time in a preseason, we haven't had to reinvent anything about us as a footy side. But I think we've got our DNA. There's evidence of success from last year, which has given us a lot of confidence and belief. And there's just everyone's sort of bounced in the preseason, really excited to rip in and go further this time around. And, you know, we've set goals in terms of top four and giving ourselves every chance come September, October. But, we would take it week by week. And tonight's going to be a tough match against a strong Raiders outfit. And they're always strong every time they come up against us. And we know that they're going to probably want to try to prove a point to us, especially how they bowed out last year.
Hey, Jaden, it's Jimmy Graham here. I just want to ask you about the influence of the crowd at the back end of last year. It was really significant. I was a part of the call team up there at Newcastle when you played South, a packed house. It's a packed house again today. Are you just aware of the fact that if you guys keep on winning, then it's going to be a sellout each and every week that you play in front of those home fans? And just how important could that be for the season for the Newcastle Knights?
Yeah, mate, it was unbelievable. The last 10 games of last year, the way the crowd responded and packed the stadium out week after week, it was something I've never seen before in terms of my playing career. And it's just an exciting buzz around the town. They really get behind us, and I was envious, to be honest with you. Like, sitting on the sideline, like just listening to the roar of the crowd, and it was definitely a special feeling. And hopefully we can recreate that this year.
Well, just on you, Jaden, unfortunately, you have had a horror run of injuries, we'll say. How is the body holding up, mate? How's the mental application to the game? You must be hungry and ready to go. How long until we expect to see you out there again?
Yeah, mate, it's been bloody torture. But, you know, the light's right there at the end of the tunnel. I obviously, I'm coming back from my knee and had the little hiccup with my hammy That lasted a little bit longer than I probably expected. But, mate, the footy's just around the corner. I can't wait. I can't wait to do everything I can to get in this footy side. And so I know we've got a lot of success coming our way this year if we all stay healthy and stay on the park and recreate what we made last year. And for me personally, that fire's burned in my stomach and I just can't wait. So, wish I was out there tonight, but if it's not next week, it may be the week after. So, footy's not far away.
Yeah, you can certainly hear the excitement in your voice. Two lads that will bring plenty of excitement, come all the way over from England, is Will Price and Kai Pierce-Paul. What have those two fellas brought to the squad so far?
Yeah, they're both classy. Kai's obviously, you'll see how he's playing tonight. I mean, he's come off the bench, but mate, he's huge. He's massive, and he's going to add another dimension to our attack, I think. He's got a great offload, and he moves really well for a big bloke. So he's one I'm really looking forward to watch tonight. And in terms of Pricey, mate, he's a larrikin in the change rooms. He's an absolute classic, and he's a great bloke. He brings a lot of energy and brings a lot of X factor, and I dare say we'll see him at some stage this year.
Yeah, and the star of the show last year was Kalen Ponga. Are we expecting to see more of the same from him, or are we looking as though Newcastle will evolve from that and look to bring other players into contention and not just be, you know, an observation that a heavy reliance on Kalen Ponga?
Yeah, I definitely think it's important for us to be able to expand off the back of KP. We can't just rely on him. It's too hard to do that week in, week out in this competition, and especially when Origin rolls around. Fingers crossed he cracks back into that Origin side, and we're going to have to rely on, you know, 13 other blokes to get the job done. So, mate, to be honest, he's come back in off the back of what he did done last year, and he's trained the house down. And, mate, every day at training, you just stand back and go, wow. Like, he just does things at training that's just freakish. And I'm tipping he goes to another level again this year, and he drags us all up with him.
Well, Jaden, we really do appreciate your time. Can't wait to see you back on the field, and all the best for the Knights tonight. Go and soak up that atmosphere up there.
Cheers.
Good luck, Jaden.
Thanks, Wade.
What a legend. Wade, how many years did you have with him?
I had a couple of seasons with him. Yeah. They're just a great football family. They got their dad, Glenn, works at the club still. Jaden came through. Blake's still playing the club. Taj is in the juniors. And Jaden, he's one of the most applied guys to his craft there is in the NRL. He's just a great kid, a hard worker. And, you know, as someone who had something to do with him at the start of his career, you just really feel for him with the injuries that he's had, because you know it's not from shortcuts. You know it's not from something that he could have done or he should have done. It's just sports sometimes can be hard. And, you know, unfortunately he's had an Achilles injury and an ACL injury, which are as long as a rehab as you can. But I really hope this is his year. Obviously, he's a co-captain of that team. They went on that magic run, and I know if he's fully fit, he'll fit his way into that team somehow. And you really just want him to go well as a, you know, cause if you know the type of guy he is, you want him to have success.
We can sense that in his voice when he's talking about how excited he is.
It's like a kid, wasn't it?
He literally was. It was like he was like a mascot that had been told, hey, mate, you're going to get a game today. Like, how excited is he to get back and play? Like, if that's not enthusiasm, if that's not, you know, that's infectious, it's contagious. You want to be playing with people that want to get excited and get amongst it. And obviously the hardship of injury has just added to that. It can be a cruel game at times, but good on Jaden Brayley there. He'd be certainly looking forward to this season.
And from someone who's got the energy and the enthusiasm to someone who perhaps isn't so inspired and happy at the moment, a little bit disgruntled, according to some of our key journos in the game, that is Zach Lomax at the Dragons. So we've seen him traditionally either in the centres, played a bit of fullback as well, but he's going to be playing on the wing this year. And apparently he's not happy. This is what Paul Kent had to say about the situation.
One of the things Shane Flanagan did when he first got to St George Illawarra was sit down with Zach Lomax, go through all his stats and said 17 teams, 34 centres. The 34 centres in the competition, you ranked about 22nd, 23rd. Mm. So that's in real figures. That's not about what I think of you. That's not about Origin coaches saying you're going to be an Origin star one day. In real numbers, performance on the field, his numbers sat him about 22nd, 23rd of all the centres in the competition. So I'd be careful a little bit if I was Zach Lomax about trying to throw your weight around a little bit on $800,000 a year, saying I'm not happy playing on the wing.
Wade, I know you've got strong views on this one, so take it away.
Well, if it's true, if he is disgruntled and the rumours are true coming out of the camp, this is a bugbear of mine. It annoys me a little bit because rugby league's a team sport. Like, who cares what number's on your back? All that matters is winning on the weekend. Whether you play, like, he's one of the highest paid players. Whether he wears 5, 4, 1, you know, all that matters is the win on the weekend for your team. And I actually think it's a good move for him. If it's ego involved about being a winger compared to a centre, mate, he's going to be involved more. He's going to be back bringing those balls back, catching it on the full. He's going to be a great kick target. He's going to sit on that wing for Benny Hunt. So there's an opportunity for him to score more tries. And ultimately, he's going to help the team win. If that's what Flano's identified as the position that's going to be best for the team, well, get out there and play it. And the other thing, we haven't even kicked the footy off yet. Like, who's to say he doesn't come out round one, score a hat-trick on the wing? Who's to say he doesn't score 5 tries in the first 2 games and he's having a time of his life? And they're sitting on 2 wins. It's just for him, I am strong on it, but if it is true that's coming out, like, before a football has even been kicked off, as a leader in a team, as a senior player, if you don't want to be here, they'd be getting nipped in the bud, like, real quick.
Yeah, well, hang on. Like, just to be fair to Zach Lomax, like, there's nothing actually come from his mouth.
Yeah,
This is the rugby league.
That's fair. I'll give him that.
But to be honest, I'm with him. Like, I'm actually with... Well, and also, what do you expect? He's a centre. The most egotistical people on the game, on the park. Like, there's no other position out there where, oh, I only play on the left. I only play on the right.
Hang on, what do you expect? Back rowers have been known to play on the left or right.
Okay, you were a back rower, Wade. You were left edge. Yeah. But if Fitzy said, I mean, need you play on the right or play in the middle, that's fine because you're a back rower. Centres, different breed. I can't possibly be playing on the opposite side because they're just wired up a little bit differently. Yeah, they play in a team sport, but it's very individualized position center. It's very personal, the battle against the opposite center. So they're completely different cats. But in terms of Zach Lomax, so I could make the argument and go, well, let's look at a team like the Roosters. Joey Manu, his best position, arguably 5'8", but he's playing in the center. So he's doing a job for his team. But that's the Roosters. We're talking about the Dragons here, who have been... You know, down at the bottom end of the table, Zach Lomax realizes he's one of the better players there. And he's saying to people, well, I want to be playing center every week. I don't want to be wasted on the wing because I feel I can influence this team and contribute to victories playing in the centers. I don't want to be doing the tough yards out the back of the field. That's not my jam. And you can say, well, shove the flick pass. And in terms of the argument around, well, he's the 22nd best centre in the competition if you lay them all out. Well, where's Moses Suley and Jack Baird? Are they above him? If you pulled up the 34 centres or all the centres in the game, where's Jack Baird and Moses Suley on the chart?
Well, Jack Bird's not above him because he hasn't played
You're talking about he's not at the Roosters. He's not Joey Manu. Joey Manu's playing our position. I'll tell you the thing about those clubs, why they're strong clubs, is because if the coach comes to you and say, this is what we need you to play for your team, you just get out there and play that position. They win because they have
and
a team-first attitude.
For years.
Yes, because their players have a team-first attitude. They buy into what the team needs. It's not about you. It's not about the name on the back. It's about the name on the front of the jersey.
I get that way. Trust me. I 100% get it. Yeah, but in this circumstance at the Dragons, at the current time as we're speaking today, in whatever the date is in March, the 7th of March, I think Zach's looking at the Dragons and going, well, hang on, we're not like this championship team and I'll fit in and play anyway.
That's what Flano is going to instill in it. If you don't want to get in and be a part of the team or put the team before you, well, he's going to find out quick smart about who's going to be in that team and that club moving forward. So Flano's got to do the job. He's the coach.
100%. I agree. And I was a team player and I abide by all those things, what it means to be a team
player. So why are we arguing here? We're on the same team.
Because I think personally, if you're Zach Lomax, if you're this young player that's...
Well, he's not young, mate. He's not young.
He's 24, 25?
Yeah, he's played over 150 games.
He's having his tyres pumped up each and every week. I think he's well within his right to even look. If you're not happy playing on the wing, you are going to make inquests to say, is there other options? It's not like he'd be short of suitors. It's already reported that the Sydney Roosters are looking at him. Parramatta are looking at him to play in the centres. No one goes into a club and say, well, I only play in this position. But I think, given the circumstances, if you're looking at Zach Lomax, for me, he can have a better influence on the team in the position of centre. And I think he feels that way too. And I think he's, well within his right, considering the situation, to say, well, look, I think I deserve a shot in the centres.
But Flano has to start somewhere, doesn't he? If he has to create that culture, you have to put a line in the sand and say.
It's hard for, the coach is he's there to coach the team, right? And he's there to fit 30-odd squad members into the best team he thinks that can win on the weekend. And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
To win on the weekend is all that matters. I don't care if you feel sorry for yourself or you got an issue. If you're in that team, tuck it out, tuck it on the side. As soon as that whistle goes, we're on, and we're all pulling 17 guys, 18 guys in the same direction, because all that matters is that win on the weekend. And if you don't get it done, what if they go 6-0 to start the season and he's the best winger in the comp? Is he still whinging? You don't even know.
If they go 6-0 to start the comp, then...
But that's how do you know? And again, we've gone pretty hard and we don't know if this is necessarily true coming from Zach or not. We're reporting on stories, other people's stories.
If it is true, and I agree about all those things about laying a foundation for this is the team. Flano puts his stake in the ground and says, this is what I'm going to stand for, and I'm willing to die on this hill. Then instead of playing Zach Lomax on the wing, he needs to play him in New South Wales Cup and bring in Tua Pilotu.
But what I mean. His skill, Zach, it could be, he might have come up as the 22nd centre. He could be a top 5 winger in NRL. And if you're a top 5 winger versus a top 22 centre, you're going to have more influence on your team in a positive way. He's a kick target. How many tries has Daniel Tupou scored out on that left edge for Roosters for 10 years just because Keary just kicks it to him because he gets
Daniel
above?
Daniel Tupou is 6'5". Yeah, exactly. Max 6'2".
Well, you're not seeing him chase downfield and catch...
He does compete
better from the wing when he's got a one-on-one shot. I'm telling you.
It's a whole different energy system playing. Centres, they do nothing all day. No wonder he's chasing.
He
doesn't have to do anything in the set. When he's playing on the wing, he's going to be involved in the backfield carries.
We're not even talking about the game coming up.
I think it's important because Flano needs to find out if this is true. And then I'm being serious. He needs to either say, well, you're either with me or not, or we're going to look to move you on.
Well, ultimately, it's Flano's job on the line, right? He's been brought in there to do a job, is to coach that footy team. So if he's put his team together, and whether or not it's true or not, if players are disgruntled and they're affecting the teams, this is another distraction. It's going to affect the team's preparation and their ability to win football games. So if he doesn't nip it in the bud soon, well, it then becomes his job on the line. So I expect that it will be sorted out either way in the coming month.
And for now, I think we'll agree to disagree, but we do love the heated debate. It's time now for our season predictions. So we've had Vegas, but this is the official start back here in Australia. So I'm going to need your wooden spoon, Origin Bolter, and your two grand final teams. So, Wado, let's start with you. Wooden spoon this year goes to...
I really find it hard to go against the Tigers again, unfortunately.
You can't win. You don't win a wooden spoon. You can't get a wooden spoon.
Yeah, I just think it's, you talk about losing Luke Brooks in there as their general playmaker. And have opinion or not, how you thought Luke went out of his career over the 10 years, he's still the main guy there. He's still the main playmaker. He's a constant voice. He's a constant organiser. He's a kicker, and I know they've added guys like Appy and it's Benji's first year as a full-time coach. So I just don't know how they're going to replace Luke Brooks, that one constant who's been in such a key position. and find that throughout the season. So they were good in games last year, and they found some starch in some games. They played really well, but it is a long season, and I just don't know how they're going to hold up.
Yeah, I'm with you, Wade, for the West Tigers to win the Wooden Spoon. Yeah, I think it's very difficult to turn around the attitudes and the cultures and the behaviours at a club, and you know, you just become so accustomed to losing. Yes, they've brought some players in, but also one of those players that they've brought in isn't coming until season 2025, and you just wonder within the playing group how much already they're going, I'm going to pin my hopes on him, because he is the marquee player that they've been crying out for. Yeah, they brought some quality in, like Appy Coruscant, Johnny Bateman, and et cetera, et cetera, but there's the hope. Isn't that Jerome Luai coming
in? And naturally, when you do get into those hard times through the middle of the season, maybe back-to-back losses, 3 in a row, particularly young players, you can start building towards next year. If you've got contract, you can see better times on the horizon. And, it's just, we hope, I wish them all the best. I really do, wish Benji all the best in his first year. But it's just, if I had to pick one, it's the Tigers.
All right, I'm going to get you to pick your grand final teams and then who ends up winning the premiership.
Well, I feel like I'm cheating a little bit because we saw the Roosters flex some muscle over there in Vegas. I probably wouldn't have had them in my grand final until that game. They just showed me enough signs, and there's enough noise coming out of there. Tedesco, chip on the shoulder, full preseason. Joey Manu, potentially his last season at the club. Big Jared, last season at the club. It's sort of just stars are aligning for them, so I'm going to go to the Roosters. And you're mad against, to back against that juggernaut out west, Penrith. I don't see why there's any reason they can't do a four-peat any easier, or not easier, but a reason to argue why they couldn't do a three-peat. They're in just a strong position. Talk about Luai leaving, some more themes to drag on. So I'm going to go Penrith and the Roosters. And I'll probably go Roosters to win.
All right, Jimmy, we need your answer in about 20 seconds.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to copy Wade because I've got that down on my paper. It's Roosters versus Panthers. Roosters' depth plus the narrative. They were one of the informed teams to finish last year. That will continue on, it looks like. And then the Panthers again. They found a new way to win. They've not been tested like that before. They found a way to win in the grand final, but I've got them going 4 in a row.
So many storylines to play out. This is the Thursday Scrum on Triple M, thanks to Ream Hot Water and Macca's. Welcome back to the Thursday Scrum, and a very good evening to all of our Queensland listeners joining us. It is Emma Lawrence, James Graham and Wade Graham as we count down to the Knights and the Raiders up at McDonald Jones Stadium. All right, it is time to dissect some of the off seasons that these clubs have had. So, once again, thinking caps on, we need to have a look at which team has really won this off-season in terms of recruitment and which team you think has really finished at the bottom of the barrel. They've had a tough time, lost lots of players, things haven't been going their way. So let's start. Who's won this off-season, Jimmy?
Yeah, look, I think I'm very biased with this, but I think the Bulldogs have recruited exceptionally well in terms of the one person in particular, not just for everything he brings on the field, it's off it as well, the way he carries himself, the influence that he can have, and that's Stephen Crichton at the Bulldogs. I think he is a huge signing. And like I say, the success leaves clues, and he's bringing all the success that went into all the ingredients for success at Penrith, and he's delivering and teaching and educating those players about what success looks like. He knows how to win. So he's a massive signing for the Bulldogs. Another team that, I worry about this year because of, the streak that they went on last season and just how they took everybody by surprise. And that's the Warriors. I do fear for them. But, if you watch their preseason trial games, they've been sensational. And the guy, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, I was not sure. I thought he'd been away for too long. He's aged, but he's been absolutely amazing. Only in trials, and we shouldn't read too much into that. But the Warriors, I'm starting to turn.
I'm glad you said the Warriors, because I spoke about the Roosters before. But the Warriors are my team. I think out of the top four teams last year, three of those teams have lost some players or have gone backwards in a certain area where I feel like the Warriors have gained. They've gained, as you just said, RTS, and I have no doubt that he's going to come back and be the player maybe not at the start of the year, but eventually he'll get there. And whether it's at centre or fullback or wherever he needs to play in that team, he'll get there. The other one for me is Capewell. We saw on the weekend when Pete Cora went down with the head knock, Paddy Carrigan had to go to the edge. And that's where they just lost that little bit of experience of Capewell. He's an unorthodox player. He just makes things happen and makes people miss. And it allows him to bring Nia Cora off the bench in that power forward role. And I might have had my doubts, you know, early in the season. Can the Warriors back up that first season? But I think that Andrew Webster, as much as a rap as he got last year, I think he has him primed, ready to go again. Just the way they trialled, I watched them really closely because my Sharkies play against them tomorrow night, and they seem to have picked off exactly where they left off with adding a few pieces as well.
Capewell's huge, isn't he? He's underrated in the sense that won a comp with Penrith, or a couple of even, then went to the Broncos.
He was 18th man for us as well when we won the comp in 16. He played so I got knocked out in that prelim down in Canberra, and he came off the bench and played 75 minutes in his second game down there. He's just a winner. He was a part of Ipswich in the Queensland Cup when they won the comp. So he's just one of those players that success seems to manifest around.
And on Stephen Crichton, he's been so impressive since joining the Bulldogs. I think even before he officially got named captain, he did an interview with Channel 9 just saying that he wants to step up this year because in the big moments, he kind of took a step back and got a bit shy and just left everything to the likes of Nathan Cleary. But he said, I don't want to die wondering, essentially, and I want this to be my year. I want people to look to me in the big moments. So it's no surprise that Cam Ciraldo then names him captain. Just the way he was talking already, like his aura and energy, which would no doubt be infectious, and it's clearly already rubbed off on everyone at the Bulldogs.
He's the alpha there. He's the leader. He's the man. And, you know, in good times and bad times, you look for people. And when you're in that dressing room or you're out on that field, who are you going to look to? It's going to be Stephen Crichton. He's the one that's going to, you know, difficult in the centre position, but he's the person that knows exactly what he's doing at all times. Great communicator. Like I say, he's been involved and knows what success looks like. He's very good friends with Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai. He usually let those two do the talking, but I think he's ready. He's ready for the step up. He's ready to embrace the challenge of becoming the Bulldogs skipper. And yeah, it gets spoken about, Matt Burton and Reed Marnie have been axed. They've not been axed. They've been there for a season, and somebody's come in, and the recognition that, you know, this guy's better suited to do the job. And I think it will help Reed Marnie recapture the form of season 2022. I think he was put off by this leadership position. Doesn't help when you're losing games. That always increases the difficulty. I thought he was trying too hard at points last year. But I think now Stephen Crichton coming in. And let's not forget, Reed Marnie was a new signing and was the skipper as well. So he's only there for a year. So, you know, that's rubbish talk, if I'm being honest. So delighted for Stephen Crichton. And he's earned this. He's not just come in and, you know, this major new signing and, you know, going to put the cue on the rack and he's got his big deal. He's coming to make a difference. It's actually, people are in awe of him there. He's that good.
Alrighty, which team do you think has lost the off-season then?
Oh, it's hard to tell. You know which team I'm really keen to watch play, particularly tonight, is Canberra with the loss of Jack Whiten. I just think for so long he's been there. You know, they've had great players in Tarpany and Papali'i, Josh Hodgson over the years, Bateman over the years. But Jack's been that lightning rod, whether it's defensively or offensively. He's been that player who's their man. We know how talented he is. He's got that big left foot. And it's not necessary. We talk about, you know, on the field, players you look to and players you just feel comfortable when you're putting your boots on next to them in the dressing room. And Jack's certainly one of those players with his hardness and his toughness and how hard he competes. So, yeah, I don't know whether it's a loss because we haven't yet seen this new Canberra team without that Jack Whiten personality in it. But I am very interested to see how they're going to go and who's going to step into that role, because it's a big role to kind of fill his boots, aren't they, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's huge, Wade. And, you know, usually when a player like that leaves, you replace them with, you know, an out-and-out superstar. And Canberra haven't been able to do that. They do have some young, exciting backs. Timoko is...
Oh, he's unbelievable. He's so strong.
He's a real excitement machine in the NRL. But in terms of their... You look at their spine on paper would arguably be the weakest or one of the weakest, certainly, in the NRL. So it's a big responsibility for those key indicator players. And usually they would turn to Jack Whiten to scrap them out. But let's not forget, this is all this talk... Ricky Stewart would listen to shows like this and go, perfect. Mm. This is exactly how we want it, because they shocked everybody last season. They somehow limped into the eight. They were there to make up to the numbers. And they went up to Newcastle in that first week of finals last year and nearly upset the party. Like, credit to Ricky Stewart and what he's managed to achieve in the game and what he consistently does each and every week. But this is a huge test of his coaching ability, because he doesn't have those superstar players to lean on. He's got some experienced players and some good forwards, Papali'i, Whitehead, Young, Morgan.
Tarpany's up there with the best front rows in the competition.
So he's going to have to lean on those guys, but you worry, I don't think getting down there will be the issue. It's then putting some polish on the end of those plays where the Raiders may come unstuck.
But as you said, Ricky Stewart would be lapping up the criticism. I wouldn't be surprised if he's like putting articles in the change rooms as well. Honestly,
it was strategic. I said, I wouldn't call it a loss, Ricky. I just want to have a good look at you before I make an opinion. But James is right. Like, the way he coaches, and we talk about different auras and that. Like, his competitive nature, the way he's sitting down on the sideline. Like, I haven't been addressed as like with a coach's speed by him, but I'd imagine they'd be pretty special. And he certainly has a way of getting the most out of his team and out of his players. So, but still a big watch for me.
Let's talk about the Eels for a moment. So you rewind to 2022, they make the grand final and they miss the eight last year. Haven't really had any significant additions to their roster. Are you concerned about the Eels this year?
I think we'll see a stronger response from the Eels. It's almost like the script was written for them last year. Like, you know, the predictions came out nice and early that they'd miss the window, and that last year they wouldn't make the eight. And they almost played into the hands of the narrative and the scripts that were being written by the press. They played into that. I think in Mitchell Moses and Dylan Brown, they have one of the best halves pairing in the competition on their day. Obviously, Dylan Brown last year was injured, and then an off-field incident, which saw him out of the game for a little while. But if they can get consistency in the halves, Sean Lane, Ryan Matheson, Junior Borlo, Regan Campbell-Gillard, they're nine, perhaps, is a little bit of an issue. But Gutherson works all over the field. It's just hard because, you know, the script will be written again, and the pressure will be coming. Like, let's not forget Brad Arthur in that season when they made the grand final. 6 weeks before that event, he was being spoken about as being under pressure. Mm. He went on, the pressure valve got released a little bit after making the GF. It probably wasn't there as much last year, but it's coming. As soon as the ball's kicked, as soon as the Eels don't perform, you know that pressure's going to start to build.
Yeah, well, there's a saying in rugby league, you know, no news is good news. And I just like the fact that there's been not a lot of noise out of there during the preseason, particularly from the playing group. There hasn't been a lot of stories coming out about how they're feeling. I'm the fittest I've ever been. I'm the strongest I've ever been. You hear that a lot of the time amongst the circles in the games and out of preseason. And I think they're a settled squad. You know, you take Gutho, you take Dylan Brown, you take Mitchell Moses behind that forward pack. I still think they can be a problem with some teams. They're going to have to adjust their kicking game. I feel like this new downtown rule was made specifically because of those, because Moses gets so deep, he just allows those boys to fly forward. So there's going to be some changes in their footy that they have to make. But the fact that they've been quietly going about their business, that they're pretty settled as a team, if they get off to a flyer and get some belief in themselves as a footy team, then I think they still will back themselves to cause some damage to some of the big guys. But again, you know, they need to start well. Otherwise, it can become a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, that about missing the eight.
Waito, you know, training the house down, fittest I've ever been. Journos need to run something in the off-season. Come on, give us a break.
I was the fittest I'd ever been for every year going in pre-season.
Alrighty, stay with us here on the Thursday scrum, counting down to the Knights and the Raiders this evening. And someone we have put our trust in this evening at McDonald Jones Stadium in Newcastle is the one and only Brent Reed, who has more gigs than anyone in this industry. Reedy, we've got lots to talk about in terms of the game this evening, but let's just start with Vegas. We heard you had a great time there, but can you tell us about what happened at the San Francisco airport?
Right. I'm still sporting the wounds from it, Emma, actually. And it was Liam Flanagan's fault, one of Triple M's own, because our flight was a bit late, and we had to run to get to the connection, and we were running through the airport, and Liam said something to me, and I turned. I'm not as nimble as I used to be, Em. I'm 54 now. And when I turned back, there was a little old lady right in front of me, and I've stepped off the left to avoid her. My shoes are stuck to the surface, and I did a 360. I took a massive tumble. Took some skin off my knee, but you know what, Em? I picked myself up, dusted myself off, and still made the plane. It was one of the, I think on the entire tour, the trip, it was probably the bravest effort of anyone.
Now,
players
really,
included, Em.
That is it. Really, that is a new low. Blaming old ladies, like, well, wow.
She came from nowhere, Jimmy.
What
wow.
about
it? She came
about
from nowhere.
I went to go off the left foot. Oh, that, yeah.
What do you
me.
Think? You think you're
that'll
a hero, Reedy, don't you? That you've still got the step, and then you're leaving the poor old lady to not get hit. You've got
lots
tickets
of
on yourself.
Saying to me, "Are you okay?" And I just got up and just kept going in.
Just cracked on with it, didn't you, Reedy? Maybe
that's
it was
what you're doing Vegas, Jimmy.
Maybe
you know,
those
you can't stop and you can't afford to stop in Vegas, Jimmy.
You
just click man,
you didn't normally get stuck there. That's for sure.
Maybe those trainers that you wore to the business attire function got too much rubbed down on the sole. That's why they were so slippy. You need to wear your business shoes and keep the trainers for airport runs.
Jimmy, to be fair, I did wear my business shoes to the function. I just changed because they were more practical when I was on the sideline to have the trainers on.
Right.
I think that was quite smart, Jimmy. But anyway.
Reedy, tell us about the atmosphere up there.
Let's chat about some footy.
We're throwing you under the bus. What, 25 or 26,000 expected up there? What is the atmosphere like? Because when it's not full there, it's incredible.
Yeah, but there's not many in the ground at the moment, Em. It's beautiful conditions up there. It's a perfect night for footy. And those who are in here at the moment just watch their New South Wales Cup team cop an absolute belting from Canberra. Actually, a kid Wade knows a bit about. I expect Chevy Stewart just killed it for the Raiders, a young fullback they've got. But there's not many at the moment. They're expecting over 20,000, as you said. It's a rematch of that great finals game last year that the Knights won, I think, in Golden Point from memory. And apparently Ricky's brought that game up during the pre-season to fire his team up for this game and for this season. So I reckon the Raiders have come out breathing fire tonight, and we'll see if the Knights can match them. But we expect over 20,000 here. And as I said, you can't get a better night for football than this. I mean, there's no real wind to speak of. Service obviously in great nick. There'll be a big crowd here. And the temperature, it's warm, but it's not too bad. It's a good night for footy.
Hey, Reedy, what are we expecting from Caelan Ponga? Obviously, last year's Dally M winning medalist went on a magnificent run towards the back end of the season. You know, he had his issues with injury and concussions and whatnot, but what's the feeling amongst the Knights crowd and the expectation on him?
Well, it's interesting, Jimmy, because I was over in Fiji a fortnight ago with the Knights, and Caelan played a lot of that trial game, which was a bit of a surprise. I thought he'd only play maybe half the game, but he played a bit more than that. And it was interesting talking to him before the game. He's really focused on his diet in this off-season. He's quite shredded. You know, he's in really good nick in terms of his physical shape. And, you know, he started counting calories and watching what he eats. I mean, not that he didn't do it before, but he's paying more attention to that. So I think the penny's really dropped with him. I think you saw that last year. And, I mean, he's obviously crucial for this footy team. He's actually just run out now, actually, alongside Andrew Johns. So Joey was interviewing him. But he just looks in great nick, Caelan, and he looks really confident. And he's in a good place in his life. So I'm expecting a big performance from him.
Reedy, you spoke about Sticky in that Canberra team. Obviously, the big loss of Jack Whiten, Ethan Strange, a rookie half to replace him, Jordan Rapana, he's played on the wing for most of his career. It's going to take one of his, you know, masterclass, you know, the best he's ever coached to really get this team firing this season. How do you expect him to go?
It's made, you know, it's, I reckon it's made for Ricky, because often when you think the Raiders aren't going to have a good season, Wado, they have a good season. And this is one of those seasons where I think no one expects Canberra to make the finals. No one expects them to play finals football. But Ricky has a tendency to produce his best coaching when no one expects it from him or his football team. And I really like the look of Ethan Strange. I think he's been great in the preseason. Ethan Strange, he's only a young fella. You know, you obviously beat KO Weeks at that 5-8 spot. And they've always got a good forward pack, haven't they, Canberra? So, you know, Papali'i, Joe Tarpanay, Hudson Young, they're really good footballers, obviously. So, you know, I think right Canberra off at your own peril, because, as I said, when you least expect it from the Raiders, they come up with something.
Just for our listeners, have you got anything much on this Morgan Smithies making his debut tonight for lock for Canberra?
Well, I mean, obviously, Jimmy probably knows a bit more about him than I do. I mean, I think he played for Wigan from memory in their grand final winning team last year, and he's just a hard-working bloke, player, and always gives his all, talking to blokes about him. Actually, I spoke to Kai Pearce-Paul about him in the pre-season, the Newcastle back rower, the English Newcastle back rower, and he said he's just one of those blokes you want in your footy team because he'll keep turning up. So that would seem to me the sort of bloke that Ricky loves having in his football side.
All righty, Reedy, you enjoy it up there in Newcastle.
I am.
Yeah.
Just quickly, I noticed you said no one's got more gigs than me. Did you leave yourself out of that equation or what? Because you're a dead set everywhere.
I am not. I'm second only to you, Reedy.
Oh, okay.
But we love having you on the program.
Reedy, go into one of the sheds and get some ice, mate. Get some ice back on that knee. That's the only way to get it better, buddy.
I'm battling on weight, eh? Don't worry. I'll be right.
Enjoy the game and make sure you drive safe on the way home. We love you, Reedy.
Thanks, Em.
Tell you who else we love, Anthony Maroon, who is coming up straight after this break as we count down to the Knights and the Raiders at McDonald Jones Stadium. We do it thanks to Mitsubishi Heavy Industries Air Conditioners. Put your trust in the experts in air.
Your weekend of footy is on. This is the Triple M Thursday Scrum. Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.